In Focus on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
And Kathy Dawes now, along with Pawnee Mental Health Executive Director Robin Cole, and enjoying her coming in a slightly different day than usual with all of the holidays. Had a good Thanksgiving, I presume?
Yes, had a great Thanksgiving.
And I know, of course, it's hard to believe, but 2018 will be here before we know it. And I think today we're going to focus on some of the different things that are being handled when it comes to community mental health, and I'll let you kind of address that.
That's right. The Association of Community Mental Health Centers of Kansas represents the 25 community mental health centers that are located throughout the state. We serve 105 counties, so all counties in the state of Kansas have a community mental health center which is assigned to them and which takes responsibility for the individuals in that community who are in need of mental health services. And so the association represents the needs of the community, represents the community mental health centers with the legislature each year. As we take a look at what the needs of Kansas are and what it is that we feel needs to happen for the citizens of the state of Kansas. And each year, our association sits down together and we take a look at some of the trends that are happening in the state of Kansas. We take a look at where we feel our efforts and energies need to go when it comes to issues that seem to be at the fore with our legislature. And so we've been working on some of these issues for 2018. And it's really a quite lengthy document, and it's something that if the public is interested in receiving copies of this document, I'd be glad to have them contact me at Pawnee Mental Health Services, and we could make a copy of the document available to them, upon their request.
I guess people always want to know locally, you know, what does it mean for me? And I know this really does have some aspects to it that would definitely have a local impact.
It absolutely does. One of the first priorities of our 2018 public health policy agenda is to address the needs of the uninsured and the underinsured. That was part of the Kansas Mental Health Reform Act of 1990. It really paved the way for all Kansans to receive community-based mental health treatment. And one of the things that makes the community mental health centers unique from any other mental health provider in the community is that we are required, in the same way that hospital emergency rooms are required to serve anybody who walks through the door, the community mental health centers are required to serve anybody who walks through the door, regardless of what their ability to pay for the services is. And so that is both a unique responsibility. It's also a unique requirement in that we have to have staff available to provide those services, whether we're going to be reimbursed for those services or not. That's part of why our county funding is so important to us. That's part of why the state grant funding is so important to us. That obligation increases our costs while it does not increase the revenue that comes into the organization to support the organization and to support our mission. And so part of what the Association of Community Mental Health Centers is looking for is for the state to restore funding to at least the same levels that it was at 10 years ago. The legislature last year made a lot of progress in that area. Leaders stepped forward and began the process of restoring some of that funding. $8.5 million was restored to the grants programs for fiscal year 18, and we're hoping that the remainder of what had been cut from fiscal year 2007 will be restored next year. Just as a reminder, we saw $15 million come out of the community mental health system between 2009 and 2011. That represented 50% of all of the funding that came from the state to help support that role of the community mental health centers locally. So we were very pleased with the outcome of the last legislative year, and we're optimistic that we'll see a continued activity on behalf of the legislature to restore that funding.
We do want to remind our listeners, as always, two phone lines are open, 537-1350, toll-free 866-776-1350, or you can tweet us at 1350KMAN. But as I said, it's hard to believe we're so close to a new year, but and obviously you're already talking with some of the area legislators, I'm guessing, but pretty optimistic, it sounds like, about the coming year.
You know, every year is a challenge, of course, and everyone has their need and their concern, but you know, we just have to continue to push forward and continue to advocate for what we know the needs of our community are. A second large area that's been addressed in the behavioral health public policy agenda is something that we have heard a lot about locally in Manhattan, and a lot of our efforts have been directed towards that. And that is for the support of community crisis, a mental health crisis stabilization center funding. And so that also is an area that the association is focusing on for this next year.
And we'll come back to that. And we have a phone call. Welcome to In Focus. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Rob and Kathy. This is Tom Roos. I just want to say thank you for all your work, number one. Could you talk a little bit about, you talked about how you give back to the community, but also the co-responder program. I've been doing a little work on that, and I think it'd be good to maybe hear about it.
Yes, I'd love to talk about that. Thank you for your call, and thank you for presenting the opportunity to talk about that. You know, I have to take the development of the Mental Health Co-Responder Program back to the development of the Riley County Mental Health Task Force. And for those of you who may not be aware of this, the Riley County Mental Health Task Force first came together during a period of time when Commissioner Karen McCullough was actually a county commissioner in our community. And there were so many issues that were being discussed that were related to community mental health and some of the needs that we were seeing in our community that then County Commissioner McCullough suggested that we create, or called for the creation of, the Riley County Mental Health Task Force. That task force started meeting, and it brought together representatives from Pawnee Mental Health, from the hospital, from the court system, from the police department, from corrections, really key community stakeholders who were working with individuals in the community from different areas of expertise, but who were encountering time and time again the impact of untreated mental health issues. And it was within that context that we began recognizing and seeing this great need of our police department to have access to resources sort of at the ready to help them address issues that they were encountering in the street with individuals whose primary issue was untreated mental illness or untreated substance use disorders. And so within that context of understanding what our mutual challenges and concerns were, I think there was a recognition that developed that the police department really needed to have access to those kinds of services on, in many cases, an immediate kind of a basis. And so initially, Director Brad Schoen brought forth a proposal to the Riley County Law Board to fund a full-time position for a mental health co-responder position, or mental health co-responder, who would be employed by Pawnee Mental Health, but who would be located with the Riley County Police Department, and who would actually receive their work assignments from the Riley County Police Department. Soon after that, Pawnee Mental Health applied for funding through the Riley County Social Services Advisory Board for a second mental health co-responder position to supplement that first mental health co-responder position. Those two individuals, of course, are just single individuals who work 40-hour work week, and there are a lot more hours in the work week that that our law enforcement officers are working in the community to secure the safety of individuals in our community.
I know we had Director Schoen on just this past week and discussed this a bit, and he talked about the importance, especially when we talk this time of year when a lot of people are going through a bit more, it seems like, during the holidays. But he said it had been very crucial in a lot of what they did, having that expert side by side with them.
It really has been amazing, the number of individuals who we have come into contact with. the number of encounters that have happened. And, you know, we believe that we're going to see a reduction in the number of individuals who end up being incarcerated because they're able to get access to the mental health services that they need sooner rather than later. And that does tie in really well to that second legislative priority, which is supporting funding available for community crisis centers. And this last legislative period, there was $2.8 million in funding for community crisis centers for fiscal year 2018. And a large amount of that funding went to community crisis stabilization centers in Kansas City and Wichita. And then more recently, there was some additional funding for community crisis stabilization that was made available to Topeka, to Vallejo Community Mental Health Center, and then a smaller amount that was made available to the Central Kansas Mental Health Center in Salina. And so the purpose of that funding is to establish local public and private partnerships for regional crisis stabilization centers to assist individuals who can be stabilized without utilizing the state psychiatric hospital. And so it could be a valuable resource for individuals who are beginning to deteriorate and who might be heading to a state psychiatric hospitalization, or even for those individuals who have been in a state psychiatric hospital and who are returning to the community, but maybe need a little more support before they're actually in the community living independently. And so we've been working on this kind of an initiative in Manhattan for several years now.
Let's take another phone call, and then we're probably overdue for a break. But Pawnee Mental Health Executive Director Robin Cole with us. And go ahead, please.
Okay. I'm going to make a statement, a question. I'm going to answer my own question. Now, what did we do 50 years ago? We now take care of everyone in any special way, mental health, physical health. I'm not picking on mental health. We bus everybody to school. We have crossings everywhere around the campus. What did we do 50 years ago? Well, 50 years ago, the families took care of the families, and we got away from that. And then we lost the family farm. Everybody used to meet at the family farm on Sunday for fried chicken at grandma's house. Doesn't happen anymore. Farms are gone. Well, now the government has stepped in, and we're going to take care of everybody from cradle to grave. But when are we going to stop? When do we have to figure out that we can't keep doing it? The family needs to take responsibility. The teachers can't discipline these kids anymore. The parents aren't. Why do you think we're in a problem? I'll hang up and listen to your answer. I'm sure it'll be very great. Thank you.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call. Boy,
and things have changed.
Things have changed a lot. You know, and when I think about what things were like 50 years ago and what things are like today, you know, in some ways, nothing has changed, and in other ways, everything has changed. And so human beings are still human beings, and we're still prone to making a lot of the mistakes that we made 50 years ago, and we're still capable of doing a whole lot more today. You know, we're capable of doing a lot more than we actually do, and I guess we have to aspire to that in order to achieve that. But I think callers made a really interesting point, or a good point, which is just about the role of family in all of this and in what we see going on in the culture around us. And I don't know, I think it's very hard to argue against the idea that there have been some significant and profound changes in the family. We just take a look at what we see happening, and certainly families are struggling. Families have struggled in the past as well, and there have probably been periods of time where families did better in responding to some of those struggles than others, but we do certainly look at the pressures that are on the family today, with alcohol abuse, drug abuse, domestic violence. We see families that are torn apart in ways that isn't healthy for the family, isn't healthy for the children who are being raised in the family. And I think that the question that's been posed by the caller is an important question that we all need to look at, we all need to study, and we need to take a look at what we can do to help strengthen families and make those that family functioning better or stronger than it is today.
I think the question's interesting, too. I just happened to save. I know in the last few months you've celebrated your Founders Day, of course, and, you know, that's 1956. I mean, things have changed a lot since those years.
They have changed a lot. And so while we look at the family, we also take a look at the context of the culture, you know, within which the family exists. And, you know, it's kind of a chicken and egg question, I think. You know, the family, I think, influences the culture, but the culture also influences the family. And so I think about going back to the year that Pawnee Mental Health was formed, originally as the Riley County Mental Health Center. And as we look at the things that have happened over the years, you know, I think about my own family and, you know, some of the issues that occurred with mental health and with mental illness in my own extended family. And while the family unit at that time might have been a little bit stronger, the resources that were available, you know, for the family weren't as available as they are today. And so, you know, my family struggled a little bit more with that at that time than maybe was even necessary. And so I think that if we can have the larger culture helping support the family while the family does its part to also, I guess, change the culture, that would be ideal. But the million-dollar question is, how do we get to that?
Let's go ahead and take that break. Oh, it looks like we do have another call. Let's go ahead and take another call. Welcome to In Focus. Go ahead, please.
Yes. It was talking about how the families can be involved, but sometimes do not the families need assistance to how to cope with different issues of drug addiction, mental illness that maybe we didn't have 50 years ago, but we still need them today, don't we?
Yes. Thank you for saying more clearly what I was trying to say. That certainly, I think, is absolutely true. And we've seen families, I've seen families that really struggled with that a lot of times thought that the only resource they had was each other. You know, they thought that the only knowledge and information that they had or that they could depend upon was what they knew themselves. And there's been a lot of hurt that's happened within families because they were afraid to reach out or didn't know who to reach out to, or maybe didn't trust that if they reached out, somebody could actually help them or make a difference in their lives. And so it is absolutely essential that people feel like there is somebody that they know that they can reach out to, that they can trust. I think that, you know, that's one of those things sometimes that happens when individuals start reaching points of despair because of their mental health or their substance abuse. Sometimes they become hopeless because they feel like there is no help, that there is no way of escape from the situation that they're in. And so they don't know where to look. They don't know how to reach out. They don't know what to do. And that's part of what our mission in the community is to make that information available, to make that knowledge available, so that people who have reached those points in their lives know who they can turn to, who they can reach out to, especially if their natural supports aren't strong or if their natural supports have failed them. And we, you know, I would even say that a natural support, and when I say a natural support, I'm talking about families, friends, school teachers, pastors, you know, the individuals that are in your life are the first line of defense. They are the first resources that people should reach out to, you know, rather than just immediately reaching out to their doctor or to a hospital or, you know, that kind of a thing. But family and friends and pastors and those individuals who are the informal support network aren't always sufficient or aren't always knowledgeable or don't always know what they need to know or what they need to do to help out. And so that's when individuals need to have access to other more professional community services.
Let's go ahead and take that break. And again, it is now 9:25. We have Pawnee Mental Health Executive Director Robin Cole with us. Appreciate all the phone calls. 537-1350. We'll have a little bit more time with Robin when we come back. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio. Pam Ann.
K-Man Weather is powered by Colbert Hill.